Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, last week, Pastor Reynolds started a study on God Almighty, and we're going to be continuing that topic this morning. Now, if you missed last week's message, then as soon as we're done today, I'd encourage you to log on to our website at independencebaptist.org and go to the audio section where you can listen to our prior radio broadcast. Now, last week's opening discussion on God was a really good one, so don't miss it. Be sure and check out that website. Now, for this week, we're going to pick up where we left off talking about who God really is. And if you have your Bibles handy, please turn to Psalms 83, verse 18, as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds.
This morning, we'd like to continue in our study concerning who God really is. And I must say again that there is really no way I can really describe God adequately. You see, I know that there's only one living and one true God. I know that He is infinite. I know that He is an intelligent spirit. I know that His name is Jehovah. The Bible tells me that. The Bible also tells me that He is the maker and the supreme ruler of heaven and earth. I know that He is inexpressibly glorious in holiness. He is worthy of all possible honor, all possible confidence, and all of our love. I know that there's three persons in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know that all of these three parts are very equal. I know that that's so, but I cannot adequately describe to you who God really is. But if I could, that would only show that I am supposed to be equal with God. And I'm not equal with God. I'm a long way from it. I'm not perfect. But God is absolutely perfect. I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner, that's sure. But I'm still a sinner. But God is not a sinner. He has never sinned one time. God came into the world in the form of a sinner, yet without any sin at all, and there Jesus Christ died the perfect death for me. Jesus Christ was buried in a rich man's tomb. He borrowed it just for a little while because he didn't need it for very long, only 3 days and three nights. And then Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by himself to show the entire world that he is God. Today, please believe more than just the facts of the gospel. I want you to truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that he is the only one that you need to wash away your sins. You can't help him one bit. Jesus Christ does it all. If you try to help God wash away your sins, that's just showing that you're equal with God. And you can do nothing at all that's pleasing unto the Lord. He is the only one that can ever lead you in this life. He's the only one that can give you eternal life, which is the same kind of life he has, which he proved for us when he was killed on the cross of Calvary because of our sins. Jesus Christ was never killed because of his sins. It was our sins that he was killed. He was raised from the dead on the third day while he was still dead. He did that by his own power, by his own might, and did that to show that I could have life if I simply trust in him, and he will give me life more abundantly. This is what the Bible says. But for an example of this, look in the book of Psalms 83 and read verse number 18. The Bible says here that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. God has shown us by many evidences who he is. God wants us to understand who he is and to really get a grasp of the one that we ought to be able to serve. Now, in this world, there's a lot of different ideas about God and about who He is. But the Bible has been written, and the Bible shows us that everybody ought to know who God is. That's what He says in Psalms 83 and verse 18. That men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. God wants us to know who He is. Notice, as we read Psalms 83, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible said here, "Keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head." In other words, there are those that hate God. There are those that are lifting up their own ways against God Almighty. In order to do that, they must attack us that are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He says in verse number 3. "They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones." So the Bible says here very plainly that in order for people to fight God, they must first fight the people of God. So don't be surprised when the devil fights us with people. That's what he does. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation." Notice what the rest of the verse says. "That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." This is an Old Testament passage. It's writing about how the people of Satan desire to put the name of God away. Therefore, they attacked the people of Israel. The Bible says in verse number 5, "And they have consulted together with one consent." They are confederate against thee. So they're all together fighting against God. The Bible says in verse 6 down through verse number 8, the Bible here mentions 11 different nations that are fighting against the nation of Israel. The Bible goes on in verse number 9 down through verse number 11, and it makes mention of 7 more nations that are fighting God through the nation of Israel. That's 18 nations total that are fighting against the nation of Israel in that day. Listen, it doesn't make any difference if every nation on the face of this good green earth is against the nation of Israel. If God is for the nation of Israel, they will be victorious. The Bible even tells us that one of these days, that every nation upon the face of this earth will gather together and they're going to fight the nation of Israel. But if God is for the nation of Israel, then you can know for certain that all the nations will fail as they try to conquer just one nation. The Bible goes on in verse number 13. It says, "O God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind." Oftentimes, we think of a wheel as being like a wheel on an automobile, or a wheel on a bicycle, or a wheel on any kind of cart. But in that day, a wheel was different than it is today. In that day, they didn't have any concrete roads. They didn't have any blacktop roads. They didn't have really good gravel roads. And a wheel followed in the rut of the road. So the Bible says in verse number 13, "Make them like a wheel." Make them to be in a place that they cannot ever get out of. They must follow the rut of the road. The Bible said in verse 14, "As the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire." As a small spark would set a whole mountain on fire, the Bible says this is the way that it ought to be. In verse 15, "So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame." And what's all that about? The Bible says in verse 16, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Sometimes tumult comes upon wicked people, and it causes them to understand that God is God. There's no way they can escape it. God is the Holy One of Israel. God is the Holy One that conquers this entire world. We need to rely upon that very fact. In verse 17, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. Verse 17 ends with a colon. That describes verse 18, which is our text in this day. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. This is the way it is. God is God. And He is the ruler, the supreme standard of conduct over all of this earth. He is the one that we need to serve, not anybody else. God is omnipotent. He is supreme. He is the one that takes care of everything. Look in Hebrews 3 and verse number 1. The Bible said, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. That is, Jesus Christ was faithful to God who appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded a house hath more honor than the house. Verse 4, and every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Don't ever forget that. That God is the one that gets all glory and all honor and all praise because He has built the entire world. He is the one that sets everything in motion. God is the one that we ought to honor. And God is the one that we ought to praise because He is high. Jesus Christ saves souls. Men do not save souls. Jesus Christ does that. We need to rely only upon Jesus Christ because our salvation is in His hands. He is the one that has saved us. He is the one that keeps us saved, and He's the one that you need today if you're lost. You need Jesus Christ, precious to your own soul. He is the only one that can wash away your sins. That's the way it is. Look in the book of Romans 1 and verse number 20. The Bible says here, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Faithful believers in Christ are able to see invisible things and glorify God because they understand that God has made everything they see. Plus, He has made the things they cannot see. We can know that the world is made up of atoms. We can't see an atom. But we know that God has created the atoms that make up all of this world. Faithful believers do not have to see literal things in order to believe. But faithful believers are able to see things unbelievers cannot see. For example, Elisha, the prophet of God, was able to see things that his helpers could not see. 2 Kings 6 and verse 15 through verse 23 tells of the time when the king of Syria warred against the nation of Israel. They discovered that Elisha constantly told the king of Israel every plan they even had, even the plans that were kept in high secrecy. Therefore, the king of Syria determined to stop Elisha with whatever means necessary. He gathered together a great army to stop one man. This is an amazing story, isn't it? This king of Syria gathered together a great army to stop one man and approached him at the beginning of day. Elisha and his servant were camped in the valley, and the king of Syria's army was around him on the mountains around his camp. Elisha's servant saw the army first, and it shook him up quite a bit when he saw them. He was greatly afraid, and he asked Elisha what they need to do now. Elisha came out of the tent that early morning and looked up, and he saw the invading armies. And Elisha told his servant this: "Don't be afraid, because they that be with us are more than they that be with them." This reply of Elisha did not help the servant one little bit. I mean, he was still afraid because he didn't see what Elisha saw. Elisha prayed that God would open his eyes, that he would be able to see the things that Elisha saw. And God opened his eyes. And the servant looked up at the mountain the second time. He saw a different scene altogether, because he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He saw that God was protecting his man. Here's the thing. I pray that God will open our eyes, that we might be able to see and understand that God is the creator of this entire world, that nothing happens by accident, that God is in charge of everything that happens. If we have our eyes really opened, we will see, we will understand that God is in control, not us. God is in control. Everything that happens, happens for God's benefit. In the book of 2 Kings 6 and verse number 18, the army came down to take Elisha captive. They could do it. I mean, there was a bunch of them. But you know what Elisha did? Elisha prayed to the Lord, saying, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." You know what God did? He did exactly as Elisha requested. God caused every one of the invading army to be blind. Then Elisha approached them in verse 19 and said to them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." This is an amazing story, how that God blessed the prayer of his servant. Elisha, at this point, led these men to Samaria, some 15 miles away. Ahab was the king of Israel. Then he asked Elisha if he should kill them or not. Elisha told him not to kill them, rather to feed them and to send them on their way. This is exactly what Ahab did, as Ahab prepared a great feast for the people. The end result is found in verse number 23. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. The lesson in all of this for us is that we as God's people need to see much more than the world sees. We ought to see what God really sees. God sees and knows who the disobedient are. We don't know who they are. God knows. We may think we know, but we can't. We need the Lord to open our eyes. We need the Lord to open our ears. We need the Lord to open our minds, to open our hearts, to lead us in living the kind of life that God wants us to live. God can protect us. God can cause us to fall as well. But we need to live for the sake of God and not for ourselves. That's absolutely the way it is. Look with me again in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10. The Bible says here in this place, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation." If we would just surrender ourselves to seeing and obeying the will of God only, God is well able to protect us from all the wicked things that this world has. God is well able to take care of us. God is able to supply for us our daily necessities as well. If we just trust in the Lord and see that He is able. He is God. He watches over all of His people. He watches over every person that wants to do what God wants them to do. God watches over that. God watched over Jeremiah. God watched over Daniel. God watched over Ezekiel. God watched over Noah. God watches over every person who just tries to rely upon Him and Him alone. God will open doors for you as He sees fit. But look in verse 8 of Jeremiah 10. "But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is the doctrine of vanities." The Bible says here that people that don't want to serve God, the living God, the true God, are brutish and they're foolish. The Bible said here in verse number 10, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King." How long will God rule? Forever and ever. He's an everlasting King. It doesn't stop at all. "At His wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation." That's the way it is. Verse number 11, "Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens." Why is that? Understand what it said there in verse number 11. That there's a lot of things that people say are gods that have not made the heavens and the earth. They will all fail. Only God, the everlasting King, will rule upon this earth. The Bible said in verse number 12, "He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion." God has made this entire world. He spoke it into existence in six literal 24-hour days. And then He rested on the seventh day. God wants us to be like Him. God wants us to rely upon Him and Him alone. He is God. And God wants us to be more like Him. And God certainly doesn't want us to be like our enemies. God wants us to be right before Him. The Bible said in verse number 14, "Every man is brutish in his knowledge." That's the way it is. God don't want us to be that way. God wants us not to be like the world, But God wants us to be like Him. The Bible says in verse number 14, every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. The world without the breath of God is like an idol, because an idol doesn't have any breath either. You've seen those idols sitting out front of somebody's house? Listen, that idol doesn't have any breath at all. We don't need to serve a God like that. We need to serve the living and the true God. The Bible says in verse 21, for the pastors are become brutish, that is, with no life at all. They're hate reproof. They have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. You see, one of these days, the Lord is going to come. The Lord God, the omnipotent, supreme, sovereign of this entire world, will establish Himself as being a king again over this world. The Bible says during the Great Tribulation period that Satan will fight. The nations of this world will fight. But you know what? They're all going to lose, because God will have victory over them. The Bible states that He will then rule on this world for 1,000 years. At the end of that time, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and Satan shall go out, and Satan shall deceive the world again. There's going to be another battle, the Battle of Gog and Magog, that will happen. There is eternal doom that is awaiting all of those that rebel against God. It's much better if you would just submit yourself unto a holy God and do what God wants you to do while there's still time for you to do it. Listen, you need to be obedient unto God and to God alone. God is well able to bless. God is also well able to curse. But know this, that God has created all of this world is for His glory and for His honor and for His praise. We pray for you that God would bless you, that you might hear His own precious word today, that you, if you're lost, that you might come to Him and know that He is able to save. If you're a saved person and you sinned against God, you can also come to God and God will forgive you.
You know, Brother Rain, I really like what you said earlier in the message about the evidence of God's presence being all around us. We can either look out at life and complain, or we can look out and see the wonders of God's creation, be driven to want to have an even closer relationship with Him. You know, it's even more important to remember who we serve when Satan sends those people and those things against us. You know, he's attacking us, but in reality, as you mentioned, he's actually fighting God. And we need to draw close to God, to serve Him in spite of the trouble, and to let God fight that battle for us. He is the very God that created the world. And while Jesus was here on the earth, He even calmed the seas. He is in control. And in the end, all those that oppose Him will fail. We may not see it in our lifetimes, but that is coming. And if you're saved, we need to rejoice in that. And if you're lost, we pray that you're going to see your condition before this almighty and completely and totally holy God and come before Him asking for forgiveness and salvation, trusting only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as we come down to the end of the message today, we do want to remind you once again about our website, which is independencebaptist.org. From there, you can listen to our prior radio broadcast. If you missed any of last week's message about God, I'd encourage you to check that out. From there, you can also read many different tracts, books, and even download sermon outlines for study purposes. We also want to invite you to attend services with us each Sunday and Wednesday. Our Sunday services will be starting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 afternoon services. Our Wednesday services are each week at 7 p.m., and our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Now, as we close, we do want to thank you again for listening and pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message about God Almighty.